Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome. It's Joanna. I am so, so happy to be here with all of you today. We have a really interactive call today. It's one where we get a lot of brainstorming going and creativity going. It's kind of like a practicum. So I hope to hear all of your voices today. The topic that we're going to be looking at is journaling as a coaching tool. I always say it's one of my favorites. It is one of my favorites, though. They all are. I always say that. Anyway, before we move into the meat of our call today, there were a couple of housekeeping pieces that I wanted to mention. So the first is, for those of you that are going for the Sacred Depths certification, yay! I just wanted to circle back to that because we haven't spoken about it as a group in a little while. So the certification requirements are due by the end of October, and I know there's going to be questions on this, so I'll just say it right now. If you're a little late on it, it is okay. I'm not gonna say you can't be certified if you need a couple of more weeks. Just email in and let us know. If you can get everything done by October 31st, it's first of all, it's just immensely helpful to me and my team so that, you know, we don't have loose ends. More importantly, it's immensely helpful for you so that you don't have loose ends. But I know that life happens and there are a number of requirements. And so if you need a couple extra weeks, I'm not going to be a stickler there. What does need to happen, though, by the end of the summer is to complete your 5 sessions with your one-on-one coach, unless you've already spoken to them and they're okay with extending, but I need to kind of, like, honor their time and the time that they've put aside to work with you. A couple of other just reminders around certification. One is that your practice hours are separate from your buddy hours. So you need your buddy hours, and then practice hours are separate from that. Practice hours can come from paying clients that you have. It can come from non-paying clients that you have. It can come from volunteers. If you want more hours, you can always post in the Facebook group if there are people that want to, you know, partner with you so that you can get those hours. But they're not the same as the buddy hours. And then I wanted to speak a little bit about the recording that you're going to submit. Again, all of this is only if you're going for certification. If you're not going for certification, you don't have to worry about all of this. So, you know, in addition to the buddy hours and the practice hours, there's a sheet for you to fill out that you did all of the homework and listened to all of the calls. And then the other component is for you to record a 25-minute coaching session. We won't listen for longer than 25 minutes. I mean, if it's 26 or 27, yes, but we're not going to listen to anything longer. In fact, I'm not the person that's doing the listening. My team member who is assigned to do this, you know, so don't submit like 45-minute calls because she'll listen to just the first 25 minutes. This call can be a call that you do with a client. If your sessions with clients are longer than 25 minutes, you know, you would just set up a separate session with them that's just that long. It can be with your coaching buddy if you want. You can record that. It can be with a volunteer. Whatever is going to work for you, whatever you feel comfortable with, you can let the person you know, especially if it's a client or a volunteer, you know, not someone in this program, you can let them know that this is not going to be used publicly in any way. It's just for internal use, so that they feel comfortable with all of the confidentiality, and that you're not sharing their full names or, you know, anything like that. And then, just so you know, when we listen to the recording, we're going to be assessing, there are some specific skills that we're going to be looking for and assessing. So we're going to be listening for energetics, and scoring that. We're going to be listening for your listening skills, for creating awareness skills, for questioning skills, and for visioning and strategizing skills. Of course, if things like befriend your fear come up, rewiring negative thought patterns, you know, all of the other stuff as it comes up, we'll be assessing that too, but you can't kind of manufacture that stuff into a call beforehand. You want to use the tools as are needed, but those other skills are ones that for sure we know you need for any coaching call. So those are the main ones we're going to be looking for. Does anybody have any questions on certification? Anything you want to ask me? Star two. I want to make sure you guys are clear. Kelsey.
Is there anything from the homework that we need to hand in, or just a page that says we did it all?
Do the checklist.
Okay.
That you did it. You know, it's kind of, that's honor system, because the truth is we're not going to look through every worksheet, you know, all of that. And some people are doing the homework in their notebooks as opposed to, you know, on the computer. So I'm going honor system on that, but I trust you guys. So just fill out the sheet.
Great.
Okay. Gail. Is this Gail? Maybe it's not. 173.
Hello?
Hi,
it's Esther.
Okay.
I pretty much had the same questions. I was going to ask you how to best send in the homework, but that's mute now.
If you look in the certification tab, there's a sheet to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost just like a checklist. Just,
right.
You know, submit the checklist.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Kalea.
Hi.
Hi.
What was the five? It was energetics, listening skills. I missed the third one. Questioning,
creating awareness.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I needed.
Great. All right. And if you guys have any other questions, you can post in the Facebook group. Just let us know, and we'll get them answered. Okay, so that's certification. The next piece I wanted to briefly mention is over the next week or two, I'm going to be sending out an email request for testimonials for you to share your experience in the program. And, of course, it's not required, but if you feel called to write something, it doesn't have to be long at all, but to just write about your experience and what has been valuable for you from Sacred Depths and from learning with me, and you know, how you've progressed and results that you've seen, inner or outer, I would just be so, so, so appreciative of it. As you know, it's important when you're sharing about your work to share experiences that others have had with you. It really helps people that are thinking about this training to understand more about the experience, to locate themselves in it, to understand if it's right for them, to get excited about it. And I'm always just so, so appreciative So I'll be sending those out. And, you know, if you feel called and if you're willing, and I'll send some, you know, guidance and instructions. But if you're willing, I just appreciate that so, so much. And if you're not, no worries at all. But I just wanted to let you know that that was coming. And then the last piece, I just wanted to remind you guys, a lot of you have already stepped into the Coaching Mastery Circle, and I just wanted to remind you that that's there for you. When I first shared about it, it was the end of April, and a lot of you jumped right on it, and others of you got in touch and said that you really wanted it and needed it, but also just kind of needed a little more time to get towards the end of the training, which I totally understand. So this is just a friendly reminder, and I'll send a reminder email out as well. We don't get started until September, so there's you can still sign up now. And you know, just to bring you back into the picture of it a little bit, there are three main objectives of Coaching Mastery Circle. The first is to deepen and integrate all that you've learned over the last 10 months. We've gone through so much in these last 10 months. It's pretty amazing. And you've all integrated a lot, but I know that there's more to integrate. There's, you know, you want to take it in deeper, of course. And so Coaching Mastery Circle is designed to help you gain even deeper mastery of all that you've already learned here in Sacred Depths. And the next objective of the circle is if you are working with clients or volunteer clients or groups and you want specific support on specific client cases, clients you're working with, patterns that you're seeing across some of the client work you're doing, trouble that you're having in group programs that you're leading. If you want feedback from me on that, coaching from me on that, a lot of times it's not just about the tactics and the strategy, but the inner pieces as well. That's a big component of Coaching Mastery Circle. And even if you're not working with clients, you learn so much from being on those calls. And then the third objective of the circle is business support. It's light business support. It's obviously not the same as one-on-one business coaching, but you will have opportunity to bring any questions that you have to me about your marketing decisions that you want to make, or just inner work around marketing and visibility, systems in your business, team members, business model, pricing, enrollment conversations. So I know that so many of you want some business support, and you want it from me, from my unique perspective. And so that's a part of the circle as well. And then the bonus objective in the Mastery Circle is that I will also be teaching new coaching skills and techniques and tools one a month. So you'll also get that continued learning. It's really, the program is you get the Q&A time with me when you need it. It's almost like office hours where you can, you know, a couple times a month where you can really come to me with any concerns that you have or anything that you need around client work, your coaching work, your groups, or your business. And then on top of that, we have practice time for skills and new skills. You'll also get access to a lot of materials, recordings, and trainings. There's a resource center with different business topics, energetic topics, things like that. And then if you're part of the circle, you also have access to any ways that I update Sacred Depth over this next year. So, for example, one of the updates is that I'm going to do a day-long Befriend Your Fear process workshop. where we'll go deeper into Befriend Your Fears, and there's going to be a lot of practice time with partners, so you would have access to that day if you wanted to participate in it. I'm going to be doing something similar with the time strategies that I shared. I'm going to be expanding that module out. Not sure if it's going to be a full day, but it'll be a substantial amount of time to get deeper. So those are just some examples. So anyway, just a friendly reminder, and I'll send an email about it. And if you haven't yet stepped in, I would just be honored and thrilled to have you in the circle. It's shaping up to just be an incredible, incredible group of practitioners and human beings. All right, so all of that said, let's dive into our topic today, which is on journaling. Journaling is, I think, a highly effective tool that can be used in coaching, and it's one, so far I haven't seen any coach training programs that specifically teach trainers, specifically train coaches and practitioners on how to use journaling in their practice, but it's something that I use with my clients, and it's just so effective, and it adds so much value. And this topic really dovetails into our final call for the program in a few weeks, where we're going to be looking at ritual as a coaching tool and also assessments. They kind of really go together. The reason why I saved journaling for this point so late in the program is because you need to be able to utilize and bring together so many of the coaching tools that we've already worked on in Sacred Depths. When you use journaling correctly, it's really an advanced tool, and it really requires knowledge of everything that we've explored so far. Also, almost every week we've been doing journaling, right, in one way or another. So you've had the experience of it, and now we can take a closer look at it and break it down. The other thing I just wanted to say by way of intro to journaling is that it has played an enormous role. If you haven't already figured this out from being with me over these last months, it's played an enormous role in my own life and business. It is one of my go-to evolution tools for myself, growth tools for myself, results, concrete results creating tools for myself, like everything. I've been keeping a journal since I've been 6 years old, if you can believe it. Actually, I think it was closer to 7. And my journal, in so many ways, has been like a friend, like a close, intimate friend and a container that I think has really helped me become the person that I am and continues helping me to become and to become and to become. So what's the purpose of journaling in a coaching context? So it's a little bit different than how we use it in facilitation. So how I've used journaling on our calls has been more in a facilitation context, right? It's like it's a group situation. In a coaching context, you're very rarely going to use journaling in the session itself. Every now and again you might, but mainly you're going to use it as homework or follow-up. Really, the only time that you want to use journaling during an actual one-on-one session, during the session time, is if you need a pattern interrupt in the session. Like, if things are just going down a particular road that's not helpful, you can do it verbally, but journaling can also be a pattern interrupt. Or you may use journaling in the one-on-one session if a client is having trouble clearing her head. If she's filled with so many ideas and so much stuff, oftentimes journaling, just for a brief, you know, you want to spend a lot of time in a one-on-one session, but it can help someone clear their head and get more organized in their mind. Sometimes if someone, you think about the four levels of learning and transformation, if someone is very much in their heart, but you need to move them into a head space in the session, there's lots of different ways to do it. Journaling is one of them. Or if they're in their head, sometimes journaling can help move them to their heart, right? But, you know, you can also do that through visualization, meditation, you know, those sorts of things. So I rarely, I mean, honestly, one out of 50 coaching sessions that I coach, will I actually use journaling in the session itself? But it can, as I was mentioning, it can be useful sometimes. But where I really leverage journaling is for homework. So work to do in between sessions. Journaling can be a great way to support a client to go deeper on a certain topic that you were exploring in a coaching session. It can be great. You can use it as a reinforcement and practice of new learnings. You can use journaling as a tool to get to pieces that you didn't have time for in the session, but that are timely for the client. You can use it as tools to get to pieces that weren't fully baked in the session and that need more processing. And you can also use it sometimes, there'll be a topic that's just really, really personal for a client that they may feel vulnerable around. And sometimes it's helpful for them to do their own exploration first, in private of it, before they actually utter the words to someone else. So those are the different reasons why you might want to use journaling. And in my book, there are very few rules. There are just very few rules when it comes to journaling. As journaling homework. It's a place where you can get really creative, which is what we're going to do today when we get to our practicum brainstorming. It's going to be so much fun. You know, it doesn't just have to be answering journaling questions. Like I said, you can get really creative. It can be about dialoguing with parts of themselves or parts of their bodies, list making, mind mapping, diagram making. I know drawing isn't exactly journaling, but, you know, drawing and journaling, right? So, I mean, really sky's the limit on this tool. But there are just a few rules that I have found to be helpful with journaling, and I'll kind of give them to you right now just as guidelines. So number one, journaling homework rule of thumb shouldn't really take up too much time, because then people just won't do it, right? And it's like myth of perfection. They feel like they have to do the whole thing, and then they don't do anything. And I like to actually say that to people when I give journaling homework. I'll say, like, even if you don't do all of this, if you can get through, you know, 30% of this or 50% of this, that's great. That's progress, right, to just already kind of normalize. But it shouldn't take up too much time. But it also shouldn't take up too little time. Like, a two-minute journaling assignment probably isn't going to do much or be very valuable. I always like to ask the client to carve out some quiet time and space for themselves. Sometimes I'll say, like, how much time do you have for journaling this week, do you think? And the note that I just want to make here is, you guys have heard me say a lot of times, you know, there's, like, the content. When we're coaching, there's like the stuff that we're coaching on, right? The content, the results the client wants, the goals the client wants to receive, you know, all that stuff. But when coaching is done well, and when there is a powerful coaching container, the byproduct is like all of the subtext, the things that the client learns either through the relationship with you or through what you model, or through what they learn to do in the container. And I see journaling homework as, of course, just the content that they're going to be working on, but also learning the practice of carving out soul time for themselves, right? So many of our clients, all of us really, I'm going to include myself in this, even though I do carve out soul time for myself, we could all benefit probably with carving out more soul time for ourselves. And this is one of when we assign journaling and ask our clients to carve out that quiet time and space for themselves, we're helping create this kind of byproduct, right, of them connecting more with their soul on a regular basis and living a life where there's more soul time. Another guideline I like to use for journaling is, you know, whatever the journaling assignments are, I give them. And then part of the assignment is I always ask a client, you know, after you journal, it doesn't have to be the same day. It can be the next day or 2 days later. Go back and read what you wrote. Read over your journaling and then list out your takeaways from what you've written. This is a little bit of a like more ninja journaling technique, but it's important. So there's the experience itself of whatever the writing is, and that's potent and it's so valuable. But there's also so much of value in then going back and reading over what you've written and seeing it. Now you're not like completely in the process, but you're seeing it from a higher perspective. You've got your analyzing hat on for, you know, for those of us that are coaches, we have our coach's hat on then, you know, as we're reading it over, and then we can make so many more connections. So I like to share that with my clients. The other thing that can be really powerful, you know, sometimes I'll give journaling assignments and they're just for the client and they continue on, but oftentimes being able to follow up on the journaling assignments and have when your client, you know, reads passages of what they've written in your next session, or paraphrases or shares an email, there is so much power in for the client in being seen and heard in the revelations that come through, right? For those of you that have been in retreat with me, you know this, right? When we do deep journaling and then either we have a group discussion about it or we divide into groups of two or three and share, and you get to be witnessed in the revelations. There's something so powerful about that. So think about the follow-up from the journaling. Now, if you're on this call right now and you're like, ugh, I do not like to journal, I hate journaling, and I don't want to ask my clients to journal, you know, here's what I want to tell you. If you're someone who doesn't like journaling, then chances are your ideal client is someone who doesn't either, so you might not want to employ this strategy. However, I feel like at least 90% of the people that are attracted to work with me are attracted to journaling, so chances are if you're on this call, you probably, you know, are into it. But I didn't want to make it seem like you must do it. It's not like a listening skill where you have to, right? I mean, you can make choices around that. Okay, a couple other things I want to share before we get to our brainstorming that I think will just be helpful for you as you think about creating journaling assignments and exercises for clients. I like to think about journaling in kind of two categories, two buckets. Again, this is just how my Virgo brain works. I like to categorize things. So, you know, if this is helpful for you, I'll just share this. So one kind of category of journaling is what I would call general journaling practices, general journaling practices. So what I mean by that is these types of journaling assignments, you wouldn't necessarily give them to every client. You'd give them to the clients who have the space and are willing to do longer-term, consistent inner work on their own. So in other words, these are either daily or weekly practices that are done through journaling and that work well if they're done consistently over time. So these are for people who are like they're journalers, they're able to carve out some soul time every day or every week. If it's someone who just doesn't have the time for consistent, this category A, you're not going to assign them this kind of thing. These are kind of longer term. It's for people who can go deeper consistently with the journaling. And the purpose is to give them a container to be able to consistently connect with their soul, with their spirit, with their heart, and with their self. And these practices, like I said, they're exercises that really work best. They're not one-off exercises. They're longer-term. They're practices, not one-off, here's a journaling assignment. So what I mean by these are, for example, anyone that has read The Artist's Way by Margaret Julia Cameron, right? Her morning pages would fall into this category, right? Of you're not going to do morning pages just once, and then you got it, you're good, you're complete, right? It's something that you're going to work on daily, and the consistency of it over time is what's going to create the results, is what's going to create the connection with self, spirit, heart, and soul. Another example of a general journaling practice, as I'm calling it, is to start with, this exercise I'm about to share is just a great way for clients to be able to locate themselves every day and have like a connection with themselves every day, to start free writing with the phrase, I am. And then the assignment that I give is write for 5 minutes straight, without stopping, without even thinking about what you're writing. Don't worry about correct grammar or correct spelling. Don't think about the thoughts too much. Just get it out on the paper. I am, blah, 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 blah. Or another prompt can be today, right? Today, blah, 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 blah. So it's a great way, when done consistently, either every day or a couple times a week, to connect with self, spirit, heart, to locate where you are. Another general journaling practice that I've mentioned a number of times in this program already is writing a letter from spirit to yourself, right? So channeling spirit and writing a letter to yourself. I don't do it every day, but when I do it a couple times a week, I'm just so much more connected in with my authentic self, with my confidence, with spirit, all of that. Another example of a general journaling practice that I know we've all heard of is to make a gratitude list every day, or it could be once a week, right? Or a celebrations list. That act of taking just a couple of minutes at the end of a day or the beginning of a day and reviewing and just really acknowledging, these are the things that I'm grateful for, or these are the things I want to celebrate. For me, gratitudes are different than celebrations. Gratitudes are almost like what I'm grateful to spirit for, or what I'm grateful to others in my life or earth or, you know, whatever it is. And then celebrations are more like I'm at the center of that, like I made it happen. One practice that's a different kind of take on this that can be really powerful. Again, if it's done just once, not, but consistently over time, even if it's not every day, a couple times a week, is at the end of the day, sometimes I'll make a couple of lists. So one will be 5 things that I'm grateful for, and then I'll write out 5 things that I want to celebrate, and then I'll write out, not 5, but at least 1 or 2 things that disappointed me in the day, or that I would want to do differently next time, right? This is a way of acknowledging and honoring what is, if you guys remember that from our Creating Awareness module. And then I'll write a couple of what I learned today, right? A couple of bullet points on learnings from the day. And I find that it's just a beautiful way to complete the day, to do an assessment, and to really complete the day. Another one of my journaling, more consistent journaling practices, and this one is needs a whole training on its own, but I'll just mention it here, is dream work. And I work also a lot with clients on dream work. So when I'm consistently and when my clients are consistently working with their dreams, there's just so, again, these general journaling practices are so much about that soul time and connection with self, spirit, and heart. So I'll just tell you guys, like, one way that I really love to work with dreams is archetypally. And so what I do or what I assign is, you know, if you've had a dream, write it out, right? Write it down so you don't forget it. It's so easy to forget dreams if you don't pay attention to them. So write it out and then pick 3 different people or objects in the dream and write from the point of view of each of them. So it's similar to, so, you know, you might say, like, I am the chair, right? If there was a red chair in the dream, I am the red chair, and just free flow writing for 3 minutes on what the chair has to say. I am the 5-year-old daughter, right? And just 3-5 minutes, free flow writing from that point of view. It will activate a lot for clients. And then, of course, same as I mentioned earlier, you want to go back and read through what you wrote and start to make connections. And it's great material to bring to coaching sessions sometimes too. So let me pause here for a moment. Anyone want to share any other journaling, something that would fall into this category A that I'm talking about of general journaling practices, things that you do every day or a couple days a week or once a week consistently over time? Do you have any of your own kind of consistent journaling practices that you want to share and offer here? That I haven't mentioned or ones that I have mentioned that you want to add to, star to. Sophia.
Oh, hi, Joanna. I think one journaling question that I have been using a lot for myself lately is I've been having a lot of, it's like a hard time making choices. And one thing I've been doing is having a piece of paper and then writing it, cutting it down in half, and then putting on one side, it's like, what do I know about this situation? And then on the other side, I put on, what do I also know about the situation that I pretend that I don't know, but I don't want to look at. So that's one exercise I've been using for myself.
I love that. I love that. It's so much, it reminds me a lot about of our myth of perfection module and being able to give yourself an opportunity to know the difference between the story and the truth of the situation. I love it. That's such a great practice. Awesome. Thank you. Let's see, who else? Dana.
Hi. I'm not sure. I clicked out, so I don't know what I think Sophia just said. So, it sounded maybe something similar, but to look at old stories. I learned it in my a meditation teacher training was to simply just journal or sort of meditate on how did I create my own suffering today. So I found it to be a good way to kind of look into just where, you know, my thought and behaviors were out of alignment with how I wanted to show up for the day.
I love that. That's beautiful. How did I create my own suffering today? I think if it were me, I might add to that. Like if I were going to do that, I would do, you know, how did I create my own suffering today? And maybe then answer a second question that was a little bit more on like the positive outlook on things, like, you know, what, how am I going to approach tomorrow differently, or what is it that I want to remember for tomorrow? But I love that practice. That's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
I know, and the word suffering, I mean, it's a Buddhist meditation.
Yeah, no, I know.
So that's tied into it, but if I were using it with clients, I might change the words if we weren't in that Buddhist realm.
yes. I love that. Beautiful. Good. Who else? Any other practices that you want to share, that you want to offer, and these kind of like general journaling practices or consistent journaling practices? Star two. I have a feeling there are a couple more out there. Anybody else want to share? Going once, going twice. All right. Well, if you think of more, definitely share them in the Facebook group. So that's the first category around journaling. The second category or bucket that I think of in terms of journaling homework or journaling questions would be more specific instances, right? Like homework to do between now and next time that are even more catered to the subject matter that comes up in the coaching session. Of course, you're not going to assign any of those other, you know, from category A if they don't relate to, you know, what you're talking about with clients. But this one is specific instances. Because there's so many, sky's the limit on the different instances and the different ways, and it would be just like exhaustive for me to go through. Instead, what I've done here is that I've created a couple of scenarios that I'm going to share, and then we'll brainstorm on what's the homework you would give in this situation. I tried to get, you know, to put together different instances that even though we're going to be looking at just a couple of instances, that you can apply them in diverse situations. So I'll share with you each of the instances, and then let's brainstorm. Please raise hands. Use your creativity. Don't feel shy. Let's get a lot of ideas going. All right. Here's scenario number one. So you've got a client, and in the work that you're doing with this client in general, and then in the session that you're in, right, you're in a session right now, you're working on weight loss. And together in your work, you've uncovered that some of her trouble with weight loss is in part related to self-love. You've uncovered together that this client's mother didn't model self-love very well. And you've also uncovered with this client already that her first partner that she ever had said some not so nice things about her thighs and her buttocks, and that also plays a part in her troubles with weight loss. Some limiting beliefs got embedded for her through all of this that you've uncovered in the session. She's come to see that she has this limiting belief of I'm ugly. And she also has another limiting belief of there's not enough time or energy to cultivate self-love. The other thing you've uncovered in the session or over the last session or two is that there's some new beliefs that she'd like to step into. One is, I am beautiful because my spirit shines through. I am beautiful because my spirit shines through. And then the other belief that she really wants to step into is, there's more than enough time for me to love myself. I've got more than enough time for me to love myself. The other thing that you guys have already uncovered together in session is that her sweet tooth, she's got a sweet tooth, and she uses her sweet tooth as a way of loving herself. The sugar makes her feel loved and comforted. All right, so that's the scenario. Those are all the things that you've already uncovered in session with this client, and then you've kind of come to the end of the session. So what's some homework you would give her? What's some journaling homework based on all of that you might give her so that she can deepen the learnings, go farther with the learnings, follow through with learnings? Star two. Uh-oh, nobody's raising their hand. Is it because I've lost you guys or you're thinking? Oh, here we go. There's some hands raised. All right, Kalea.
Hi. Excuse me. I was eating some food, so I hope my throat's a bit yucky. Well, I had this thought while you were talking that, first of all, how powerful it is to use this way of asking questions to help somebody see. Right? That's what was coming up to my mind. What's really going on that's opposing their desires and their dreams, which, of course, is what happens when we get on autopilot. It happens for all of us. But what I was thinking when you asked, like, well, what journaling questions and what would you do? My thought went to when they had that sense of awareness of, oh, I really want to eat right now. This is actually not the time I'm supposed to be eating, and this certainly isn't what I have in mind for what I wanted to eat today. Uh-huh. That awareness of, well, what's triggering this desire to eat something, right? Like, first of all, what is it that I want to eat? Like, maybe it's chocolate cake or, you know, I mean, the easiest
so
way
almost,
to eat stuff you shouldn't eat is not having it in your house. But, yeah, go
yeah.
on.
Yeah, so tell me if I'm getting this right, or maybe I'm riffing off of what you're sharing and tell me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm almost seeing, like, she can track herself throughout the day.
Totally.
And
mm-hmm.
when she has the desire, you know, without judgment or, you know, stop or even stopping herself or anything, but if she could take the pause and write down, like, what's motivating the hunger or the desire for this right now?
Totally.
And
yeah.
Ask other questions around it so she can, like, really become a detective around that patterning for her.
Right. Excuse me. And the thing is, I used to train, as you know, women physically in my first business, and it would help women lose weight so much because they would create that pause.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
in the pause, they would go, "Oh, I actually don't even want to eat this. Really, it's just an autopilot. Something triggered me."
Yes, it's similar. It's actually really similar to our rewiring negative thought patterns, right? Like
mm-hmm.
sometimes
yeah.
that impulse to eat is the same as the thought, right? The impulse to the thoughts. And so having
mm-hmm.
that space to slow it down. Beautiful. I love that idea. Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Who else? Star two. Use your creativity. I gave you lots of information to work with. What are some ideas Who is this? 2809.
Hi, Joanna. It's Connie.
Hi, Connie.
Hi. A quick, simple one would be my spirit shines through when I'm da-da-da-da-da-da-da, just free flow writing.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, because part of what I shared is that new belief, I'm beautiful because my spirit shines through. So that would really help reinforce that. And I would maybe almost have her do it 2 or 3 times over the week.
Yes.
Really enforce that idea. Beautiful. I love that. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Maura.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. I was thinking that I would probably want to give the hunger a voice. Like say, you know, what does this voice, this one want you to know?
Yeah.
And kind of like write out what that one wants you to know about hunger and food and whatever.
Yes, to personify the hunger and then speak the voice of hunger and for it to share its wisdoms and its desire and what it wants her to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then you could also do the opposite. You know, what does kind of like the wiser, more embodied, stronger part of ourselves, you know, what do they want to say about all this?
Yeah. Yeah. And even just riffing on what you're saying, she could almost have like 2 columns, and one could be like the lower level expression of her hunger, and one can be the higher level or more of a level expression of her hunger.
Right.
You
know,
like write out and see the difference between the two.
Yeah, I like that.
Awesome, beautiful, great suggestions. I love them. These are so good and so creative. Let's hear some more. Jessica.
Hi. So I was thinking that she could have a conversation with her body or her body parts. You mentioned her buttocks, so you know, maybe that or her just all the different parts of her body, and ask have a dialogue about how they would, the different parts of her body would want to be loved by her.
Yeah, I love that, bringing that piece in and like really reinforcing that self-love piece that she's wanting. It's awesome. Great. Thank you. Justine.
Hello.
Hi.
What came to me was just a very simple because. So it's like taking the new affirmation, you know, there is enough time for me to love myself because, and then just completing that,
or,
you know, just writing nonstop for 5 minutes or whatever, 3 minutes, and just thinking of as many reasons why there's enough time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, like, really creating an internal argument for it, you know, like really building up that evidence and integrating that inside of her and keeping that top of mind. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Great. Good. Got some more. Gail.
Hi.
Hi.
I was thinking about the sweet tooth, and I was thinking a good thing to journal on might be sweet moments in life, like moments that feel sweet and nurturing to her.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe writing on that when she wants something sweet, when she wants to eat.
I love that. I love that. And that's like so such a beautiful, like masterful use of language, right, and adapting the sweet food to the sweet moment instead and retraining the neural pathways in that way. Beautiful. These are so great. Who else? Any other ideas for this one? Any other creative, even if you're not sure but you want to bounce an idea off, what other... any other ideas that you want to share on journaling for this client? I'll share just a couple more to get some ideas going. Let's see which ones weren't said. Oh, writing a letter to her mother, one that she wouldn't send, right? But if you remember, I shared she uncovered that her mother didn't model self-love very well. So it can be a letter that just giving your client permission to express anger or forgiveness or love in that letter, just anything that needs to be expressed. Or it could be a letter from almost like the highest, most evolved part of her mother to her apologizing. In a similar vein, you could assign her to write a letter to her 4-year-old self. Why did I put in my notes here 4-year-old self? Oh, maybe it was when she was 4 that the modeling from her mother started, right? And maybe if you uncovered in the session that just the perspective of that 4-year-old, right? So to start creating a deepened relationship with that 4-year-old, let that 4-year-old know that, you know, she's being taken care of, that she doesn't have to react so much. And then also there could be possibly a letter to that old partner that was so mean to her, just as a way of expressing anger and empowerment of like, look, buddy, this is actually who I am, right? So being able to assert there and to use any of those situations. Or a letter from time, right? Because time is one of those issues that's intersecting here with the self-love. She could have a dialogue with her sweet tooth. Some people already mentioned that. She could also draw her sweet tooth, right? Make a drawing of it and maybe from the drawing then create a dialogue, right? But sometimes when we can draw something, it's a way of personifying it more, of deepening a relationship with it. Then we can analyze the drawing that we made, and you know, we may find different new understandings and pieces in it. Because she's working with spirit, someone else already mentioned a beautiful thing to do with spirit. Another idea is to draw her spirit. I know that's probably hard. It wouldn't be representational. It would probably be abstract, but you never know. But to draw her spirit. You could give her an assignment maybe, you know, a couple times that week to answer the question, what are new ways that you can love yourself? Very similar to what Gail shared about ways to bring in the sweetness. You could ask her to write a little bit of like a manifesto, answering the question of what would you want the world to learn from you and your experience about self-love? What would you like the world to learn about you and your experience about self-love? All right, let's look at another example. So in this one, you're working with a client on setting boundaries. Through the work that you've done together, this client realizes that she's been a doormat in a lot of her relationships. She overgives, she takes over responsibility, she allows others to be critical of her and to take advantage of her. And as you explore this with the client, you also uncover together that she has a fear of others being angry at her. She is just terrified of others being angry at her. And that's a lot of what fuels and motivates the overgiving, the over-responsibility, the letting others take advantage of her, the being the doormat. Through the exploration, particularly if you're working with shadow, you find that along with that, there's a buried energy of the warrior woman that's lying dormant inside of her. That she's got, and I should explain, like for me, the part of the archetype of the warrior woman is she knows how to set boundaries really well. We've looked at this in our systems call, actually. So part of the homework that you give her, she had been talking about a particular situation with a close friend who she keeps on lending money to this friend, and the friend never pays her back. So one part of the homework that you've given her, not journaling, but one part of the homework that you've given her is to set a boundary with this close friend around not lending her any more money. And then the other piece of homework that you've already assigned to her is another boundary for her to set, and it's with her parents, for her not to call them every day. She's been calling her parents every day, and it hasn't been from a place of wanting to connect, but it's been more of this, like, over-giving thing. And your client is up for it, for setting these boundaries. She's decided that she wants to set both of these boundaries with confidence and with love. But you know that she probably needs to do a little more inner work for herself to set those boundaries and to set them with confidence and love. So, all that being said, what kind of journaling homework would you give her? What are some creative ideas based on all that I've shared? Star two. Jessica.
I think just doing a journaling session where you always start with a prompt, I am warrior woman, and just see what flows from there.
Yes, I love that. And I agree, I think that's one to do more than once, like to do that a couple of times over the week. I am warrior woman, and to just really embody that and channel that. Beautiful. It's great. I love that. Who else? Star two. I'll give you guys a moment to think on this. Justine.
Again, this feels really simple and not super creative, but what came to
me? No, simple is often best.
Okay, what would I need to set boundaries with confidence and love? Or who would I need to be?
I love that. Who would I need to be? And that just sparked, this isn't a journaling idea. It's kind of getting into other realms. But if the client had time and she was into the idea, she could even create a collage, right, with words and images of who would I need to be in order to set these boundaries. And it's something that taking the time to make a collage, right, find images and do that, it's like integrating, right, and like really reinforcing the ideas, and then she could keep it somewhere for herself.
Mm, I love that.
Awesome. It's great. Yay. Who else? I know there are more ideas out there. Star two. Maura. Are you there, Maura?
Oh, sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm thinking about, you know, how to have her sit more fully and compassionately with these feelings that come up that she tries to make go away by, you know, giving money, people money when she doesn't want to. So I would probably ask her something about the feelings that are so hard for her to sit with. So a question like, you know, which feelings can I not sit with? Or what is hardest for me to feel about this situation? I don't know how to word it, but something that really gets her to sit with the discomfort that comes up when she tries out a new behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, I like where you're going with that, and I'm thinking of ways to kind of elongate it, to make it too long, but like to deepen it a little bit so that she's really in it. And tell me what you think about this. Like what you're saying sparks for me is that for her to think about, okay, I'm going to set this boundary with my parents, and maybe she could first just make a list of like the two or three feelings or beliefs that come up around it.
Okay.
And then she can actually focus on each of them, like maybe do some free writing on each of those feelings or beliefs to sit with them more, like you're saying, and to kind of get more into the crags with them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Awesome, beautiful. Okay, great. Who else? Star two. What else is coming to mind? Jessica, did you raise your hand again? Did you re-raise or was that before?
I did re-raise.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just inspired by, I forget who said it earlier about the two sides of the paper, but I thought maybe having two sides of the paper and one really imagining if sort of the part of herself that wants to give money to her friend to just totally indulge that part and let that part just pour out why she wants to do it and what kind of person she is. And then on the other side of the paper to give voice to the part of her that wants to set the boundary and not give the money and just to give each of them full rein.
I love that. Yeah. So that she could really kind of see from a higher perspective that back and forth in front of her and then assess which one she wants to give more attention to or more focus to. That's great. Love that. Who's this? 2589.
Mary Jo.
Hi.
Hey. So what I was thinking is that maybe you could have her journal with her anger and let her anger express itself and then sort of mine that for, you know, that balance of, like, assertiveness to help her with the boundaries.
Yep. Spoken like someone that has been trained in shadow. Yay! So, yeah, whenever there's problems with boundaries, when there's fear of other people being angry, when someone is allowing themselves to be a doormat, we can almost bet that there's some unexpressed anger in there. Now, when you give journaling, I love what you're sharing, and when you give journaling homework around anger, you usually just want to put a little bit of a tighter container around it, just because so much can come up. So the tighter container might be like to time it, you know, so like no more than 10 minutes. And then afterwards to shake it out a little bit, like to get back into your body, to make sure that you're grounded. And then for sure that follow-up piece of reading it afterwards and assessing, like bringing the mental pieces back in. Because every now and again, someone who just has like never expressed their anger, if they're going to go off and do that on their own and really get into it, we just want to make sure that they're kind of coming out of it too. So just putting a little bit of that tighter container is oftentimes helpful.
Awesome. Okay.
Beautiful. I love that. Anyone else? What other ideas are coming through on this one? Star two. All right. I'll share. Let's see if I've got any others that haven't been mentioned here. We spoke a bit about that warrior. What you can draw your warrior woman also. Make a drawing of yourself as the doormat and then dialogue as the doormat. write a draft of exactly what you're going to say to that friend or say to your parents. So oftentimes when we have a session with a client where they're going to do something new that involves speaking to other people, whether it's setting a boundary and they're not in the habit of setting boundary, or it's, you know, going in and asking for a raise or whatever it is, either on the call itself or if you don't have time on the call itself, you want them to have a little bit of a script, to have words prepared to say or to write, because that will just help propel them forward, you know, as opposed to like, okay, I want to do this, but, you know, if they're stuck, if they're in fear, the fear will kind of block them from knowing what to say. So if you can give some kind of homework, if you don't get to it on the call, of preparing that script, and oftentimes if they're preparing a script, whether it's on the call, in the conversation, or I give it as homework, if it's about, okay, what are you going to say when you set that boundary? Or, you know, what are you going to say when you ask for the raise? Or what are you going to say when you speak to your business partner about blah, 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 you know, whatever it is, or your partner about blah, 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 blah. Before I even ask what are you going to say, the first question I help them get clear on, the first question I ask is, what's the energy that you want to bring to the conversation? What's the energy that you want to bring to the conversation? The reason why I always ask that first, whether it's in conversation or in their homework, is because if they can step into the energy that they want to bring, it's easier to find the right words that they want to say. Another possible homework might be for her to follow herself throughout the week and make a list of all the times that she ignored a boundary because of fear of making others angry, so she can track herself there, and also to make a list of the times that she's starting to uphold the boundaries, right? So I one way of using journaling, you guys have heard me say a number of times, and we've looked at this in Befriend Your Fear and Rewiring, is for tracking. Tracking is a very powerful tool for growth and for results. Another piece of homework that could be valuable for this particular client is for her to make a list of people that she knows that set boundaries or uphold boundaries in really healthy and loving ways. Another possible piece of homework, and again, some of these things you may get to in a session, right, or not, but if not, for her to define, kind of like to write out for herself, what are the components of a healthy and supportive relationship? What are the components of a healthy and supportive relationship, so that she can really define that for herself and have that for her? All right, let's do one more of these. So here's the next scenario. You're working with a client, and this client is ready to embark on a new passion project. You've spent the session beginning to vision what this passion project is. She wasn't fully clear, but here's what she came up with in the session. She wants to create something that allows her to make an impact in the world of maternal care and childbirth. So she wants this passion project to be a vehicle to help her make an impact in maternal care and childbirth. She wants this passion project to be something where she can use her talents and her brilliances of singing, writing, and connecting well with others. So those are her main things: singing, writing, connecting well with others. And part of what was blocking her full clarity in the session was that she needed some time for it to marinate, right? As we often do when we vision projects, she needed some days for it to marinate. But the other part, the other block, was a fear of visibility, which you guys uncovered in that session. She has this fear that she'll be rejected or made fun of, because it's like singing, writing, you know, and bringing that to maternal care and childbirth. So she's got this fear that she'll be rejected and made fun of. And she also has this other fear that the childbirth world is pretty controversial, and she's scared of haters. So in the session, you started to do a little inner work around this, and this is how far you got. That the thought of being visible for this client makes her feel like when she was 8 years old and she got very made fun of for deciding at 8 years old to be a vegetarian. So that's like when you started to do the befriend your fear process or similar process, that's where that connection with the fear of visibility came through. So what might, and then you got to the end of the session, right? You got that far, it's the end of the session. You know she's got more to do. So what homework would you give her between then and your next session? What kind of journaling homework would you give her? Star two. Kalea.
Hey, I would give her that yummy work of loving and mothering her 8-year-old, you know, just like fully stepping into what she's drawn to, which is, you know, that connection to, well, I want to give to the world this passion project of around, that has to do with a child, has to do with her own child and self, right?
Yeah, good. So get more specific. I love that idea. So what's the specific assignment you would give her?
So the specific assignment would be getting into a dialogue with that 8-year-old that has been now uncovered, right? And asking, how do you feel? Like, what can I do for you? How can I be there for you? And really, I think that affirmation, and I used to do this with myself, my own child stuff, would be, I'm here for you. Like, I've got this. I'm here, you know?
Yeah.
I've got this. And that was so helpful to just see that on paper, you know, and read that back. Is that specific enough?
Yeah, I love that. I love all of that.
Yeah.
And I'm going to noodle you or push you just a little further, because this is all so great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for you, and this question is just good for everyone. You sometimes will give a client like open dialogue with this part of you or with your 8-year-old self, and that can be helpful. And then other times we do want to give them specific questions. You mentioned one, I think it was, what are you asking the 8-year-old, like, what do you need? What other, if she were to ask her 8-year-old some other questions, let's just name like one or two more. Because sometimes clients can just go with the general of like dialogue, and then other clients, they're going to need a little bit more, right?
What comes up intuitively is there anything you need to tell, like, is there any other way that you've been hurt that I don't remember about? And I would talk about the vegetarianism as the, like, this is what came up for me. Like, it's a real conversation. This is what came up for me today in my coaching session.
Yeah.
This is the memory that I have. Do you remember this? You know, and then like actually activate and then ask, you know, is there any other way that you've been hurt? Now, that could be a really dangerous question. I get really cautious when I will intuitively pick up that something has happened to a client that is super buried, that's really, really painful for them to remember, which is another conversation for another time that I've wanted to ask you for a long time, how to handle that. But how would you handle, like, how far would you, if you intuitively knew there was something else going on, how far would you take that questioning around? Is there?
Yeah, so... You're much more of an intuitive, I mean, I am intuitive, but you, Kalea, are like much more of an intuitive than I am.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably know it more than I do. I can have a sense sometimes when I'm working with a client. But if I have a sense or an intuition, it's not going to be something, it's too loose of a container assign it for homework, right? So if I do have that sense, I'm not going to let them go off into the loose container with that.
Yeah. Right. So I guess
you could ask a question of, like, if you do have that intuitive sense, I still think there's something there in, you know, are there any similar situations beyond the vegetarianism that I'm not remembering?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe also adding in that, as that journal question comes up, I'm here for you through this process. If something comes up,
mm-hmm.
that you want to reach out to me right away,
yeah,
I'm here.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100. Yeah, and you can say, like, sometimes totally unexpected things will come up, and
yes,
it's all good. Mm-hmm. You know, reach out to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Does that answer your noodle?
It does. It does.
Okay, good.
Awesome. Good stuff. Doing it to push you, but also just to get everybody thinking.
Oh, no, it's good.
At some point, ask me the question that you want to ask about this, but I also want to make sure that you listen to the recording with Raya on therapy versus coaching.
The therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big thing for me. Yeah, that's
okay. Listen to that, and then if you have more questions, we can totally talk about it. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's see who else. Maura.
Yeah, I think I would ask her to write out a description or a scenario of a day in which, you know, she did have to confront this fear. But and she wrote out a description of how she did that really successfully.
Mm-hmm.
What she felt, what she said, what she did, as though it's already happened. Like, she was already successful. She was already victorious.
Mm.
So she could imagine it and feel it.
Yeah. Yeah, almost like a case study of something that hasn't yet happened.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
have her really feel it and really embody it.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. Nice. Justine.
I would have her go toward her why. So I would ask, what's your bigger why? And what's so compelling about childbirth or maternal care for you that you would be willing to risk judgment?
Yes. Yeah, so really going into that why, and almost like some of that mission work, right? Like, what is your mission here? What is the change that you want to see around this?
Mm-hmm. And also another question is, what's the missing link in the childbirth world that you can fill with your unique approach?
Yeah. Yeah. Questions similar to that are like, you know, what right now is breaking your heart around the childbirth world that you have a solution for? Or what is the really big change you want to see there? I love all of that. Yeah, so really helping her go deeper into that why, deeper into that mission, and to be compelled and have that lead her forward more into the vision.
Yes.
Awesome. Beautiful. Uh-oh, I just lost, oh, dearie. Oh, wait, let's see. My computer is being weird, and when it's weird, I can't bring people off of mute. And I know there were other hands raised. And my computer is not going to let me do it. If you had your hands raised, can you see if you can take yourself off mute? For those of you that buy into Mercury retrograde, this has been the last 2 weeks of my life. All right. Looks like I lost my internet, so I can't bring any other shares on, but luckily it's happening at the end of the call. Any other hands that were raised, I want to hear your ideas. Please share them in the Facebook group. I'd love to hear your takeaways from this call, what you're really seeing and learning. I hope this call is inspiring for all of you. And your homework is in your client calls, in your buddy calls, you know, in any coaching that you're doing, if you haven't been assigning homework or journaling homework, I want you to lean into it a little bit more and see if you can assign some homework. If you have been, I want you to just take all that you're learning from today's call. You know, maybe you've been assigning the more general consistent practices, but not the category B, the specific instances, or vice versa. You know, see how you can go deeper there. And then the other piece is, right now, before you get off the phone, give yourself a piece of journaling homework, whatever you're grappling with right now, inner or outer, you know, since kind of we're in the mood here, right? We've been thinking about it. Let's give you some soul time. So if you were your own coach and you were to assign yourself a little bit of journaling homework for this week, for the next few days, what are you going to assign yourself? And I assign myself homework all the time. Write it out for yourself. And I really can't emphasize enough the importance of carving out soul time for yourself, to connect with yourself in this way. And so if it's important and you're not sure you're going to get to that journaling homework unless you know what time you're going to do it, just identify, you know, when is a good 20-minute chunk of time that you have to do this journaling assignment in the next few days. And I'd love to hear, if you want to share in the Facebook group what you're assigning yourself. I'm sure there's lots of golden nuggets in all of that as well. All right, for those of you that are in level two, I'll see you for our day-long workshop next week. And for those of you that are in level one, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks for our last call. It's going to be another interactive one. We're going to be doing ritual together. We're going to be looking at next steps calls. We're going to be looking at assessments. It's a double session. We're going to be together for 3 hours. I can't wait. I'm thinking about all of you, sending you a big hug. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.